I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. We started the show today talking about what we know about North Korea's nukes program and what exactly is in their arsenal. So let's check in on what's happening on the diplomatic front to keep that arsenal from getting bigger or getting used. The main headline on the diplomacy today seems to be that a top North Korean official is scheduled to meet with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo in New York City. That's according to the White House. It's being said they're hoping to resurrect the June 12th summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. I was curious to find out more about this North Korean official, whose name is Kim Yong-chol. Ankit Panda is with the Federation of American Scientists and senior editor at The Diplomat. We called him up because he's also a North Korea expert.
Kim Yong-chol is an interesting character, and in any other year, we might not have expected him to be the first person North Korea would send to the United States for what certainly appears to be a high-level signal that the June 12th summit might be back on. Kim Yong-chol is currently the vice chairman of the Workers' Party of Korea's United Front Department, responsible for fomenting support for the country in South Korea, and he's primarily known for his involvement in inter-Korean affairs. For instance, he played an important role in the rapprochement we saw earlier between the two Koreas this year at the Pyeongchang Olympics.
He's also a lot older than Kim Jong-un. He's probably in his early 70s, I've seen. How does somebody survive in North Korea's inner circle for so long? Is he just a yes man?
Well, he was around during the tenure of Kim's father. He was someone reported to be trusted by Kim's father. Most infamously, Kim Yong-chol is reported to be the mastermind behind the 2010 attack by North Korea on a South Korean corvette, the Chonan, which killed 42 South Korean sailors. So that certainly makes him something of an unpopular figure in both South Korea and the United States. And indeed, he is personally designated under U.S. Treasury sanctions. So he likely had to have received an exception for that to make this trip over to the United States.
And in some ways, even more surprising, he's lasted this long because I also read that he's not very deferential and even snarky at times. What do we know of his personality?
That's true. I mean, reports on the personalities of individual North Korean leaders do need to be taken with a grain of salt. But Kim Yong-chol certainly does have a reputation for being prickly, for speaking straight, and even for making inappropriate remarks and jokes and encounters with South Korean officials. So that's something to watch for, I think, during his trip to the United States. Kim Yong-chol is not a diplomat, which is, again, one of the reasons why he would not have been the first person I'd have expected the North Koreans to send over. But he is accompanied by people with more knowledge of the U.S.-North Korea relationship. So that's not to say that Kim Yong-chol is entirely unprepared for this trip. Quite the contrary.
What kind of autonomy might he have in negotiations with Pompeo? I mean, just in terms of negotiating on behalf of Kim Jong-un.
I suspect he has very little autonomy. All of these officials are speaking from a single set of talking points. They know exactly where the red lines are on what North Korea will and will not give up, what it will and will not say. And I suspect that Kim Yong-chol is very well prepared in that regard to deal with the United States.
And what do you reckon General Kim will be hoping to get out of his meeting with Secretary of State Pompeo?
So at this juncture, we have a few separate processes running. One is the talks at the DMZ, led by the expert team of U.S. negotiators, led by former U.S. Special Representative for North Korea Policy, Sun Kim, dealing with the technical aspects of the agenda. We also have reports that there's a second team meeting in Singapore on the logistics. I see this move by the North Koreans sending a high-level envoy to the United States as effectively a way to decisively set the momentum back on track for the June 12th summit. I suspect that him and Pompeo will make sure that both sides are walking into this meeting with the right set of expectations. Conversely, there is a possibility that something happens at this meeting that simply takes us back to where we were on Thursday when President Trump canceled the summit, and that revolves around the issue of denuclearization. Kim Yong-chol is someone that I can imagine reiterating the message that North Korea has already made clear in its state media, that North Korea will not be coming to the June 12th summit with the intention of turning over its arsenal to Donald Trump. That's simply not what the North Koreans are willing to do. When they say denuclearization, they mean a very different process, one that effectively refers to global disarmament, if not bilateral arms control with the United States. So there is still a possibility that this process could be derailed. But the example I look to here is the 2000 visit by North Korea's then Vice Marshal to the United States, which actually paved the way for Madeleine Albright, who was then Secretary of State, to visit North Korea a few weeks later. The analog there, to me, is quite strong. This is the Kim Yong-chol becomes the second highest level North Korean official to ever visit the United States. So in my view, this does suggest the summit will likely end up happening.
Ankit Panda, senior editor at The Diplomat magazine. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. No problem. Thanks for having me on.